जय प्रभु ने इस्कॉन ज्वाइन किया था 1978 में, 1978 में मियामी फ्लोरिडा में। उसके बाद उनको पुस्तक वितरण की सेवा दी गई जो उन्होंने बहुत सुंदर तरीके से की और बहुत ही शीघ्र पूरे विश्व में, पूरे यूएस में ये विश्व के नंबर एक बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूटर बने। फिर 1983 में इनको संकीर्तन लीडर की सेवा मिली जो उन्होंने बहुत अच्छे ढंग से निभाई। 1990 में इन्होंने 9 महीने तक टेम्पल प्रेसिडेंट की सेवा की और मंदिर के अध्यक्ष होने के साथ साथ भी इन्होंने पुस्तक वितरण को घटने नहीं दिया बल्कि बढ़ाया। और 1995 में परम पूजनीय गणपति स्वामी जी के से प्रेरणा प्राप्त करके विजय प्रभु विश्वविद्यालयों में जाते थे और वहाँ पुस्तक की टेबल लगा के पुस्तक वितरण करते थे, जो कि अभी तक विजय प्रभु अभी तक कर रहे हैं। 2002 से GBC ने इनको अंतर्राष्ट्रीय पुस्तक वितरण का मंत्री घोषित किया पूरे विश्व में लिए। इससे पूरे विश्व में ये भ्रमण करते हैं और सबको प्रोत्साहित करते हैं पुस्तक वितरण के लिए, तो हमारा परम सौभाग्य है। पिछले 36 साल से विजय प्रभु जी ये शिला प्रभुपाद की सबसे प्रिय सेवा कर रहे हैं पुस्तक वितरण की। विदेशों में पुस्तक वितरण करना इतना आसान नहीं है। भारत में जब हजारों पुस्तकें वितरण होती हैं विदेशों की एक पुस्तक के बराबर है, और ये पिछले 36 साल से प्रभु जी निरंतर सेवा कर रहे हैं नॉन स्टॉप बिना रुके, तो ये दिखाता है कि इनका प्रभुपाद जी के प्रति कितना समर्पण है। तो हमारा परम सौभाग्य कि आज विजय प्रभु हमारे बीच में है। कृपया करके सब ध्यान पूर्वक प्रभु जी के मुखारविंद से राम कथा का आस्वादन करें, और जिनके पास मोबाइल फोन है उसको साइलेंट मोड में कर दें या स्विच ऑफ करें। हरे कृष्णा। हिंदी ट्रांसलेशन पीछे हो रहा है, जिनको हिंदी में अनुवाद चाहिए पीछे कमला चंद प्रभु हिंदी में अनुवाद कर रहे हैं। हरे कृष्णा।
हरे कृष्ण। So is there going to be a book? No? Book? Or no? There's no verse. What's the program? Just speak about it. So actually, before I begin, I'd like to apologize to the Punjabi Bagh devotees. A few years ago, they were number one in medium books, but for some reason in the score sheet it didn't come out that way. So 200 devotees went to Mayapur to receive the award, but no award was given because there was some confusion. So I just wanted to apologize. About 3 years ago or something. Anyway, you're always number one in the medium category, so that's really Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And now I can understand why. You have the most beautiful deities. I mean, these deities are really sweet. Now I could understand why you're always so successful in book distribution. Inspired by Srisi Krishna Balaram and Srisi Radhikraman. So thank you very much for all your great success in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So tomorrow is Ram Nomi, a very prominent day in our Vaishnava society. So Ram, he was the emperor of the world, and very powerful emperor, king. But he had a problem. In the material world, even big personalities have problems. Dukkhaliya Masasatam, it's a place of suffering. So Dasarathi was suffering because although he was the king, undisputed, just very clearly the most powerful, he didn't have a son. It's a big problem. Big anxiety. How's the dynasty going to continue? For years and years and years, he had 3 wives, no son, couldn't have a son. So big anxiety. But then It was said there's going to be a sacrifice by one great sage, Rishi Singha. And by this sacrifice, he would get a son. So first they did a Ashwamedha, I think Ashwamedha sacrifice. They went around with the horse for 1 year. And just generals, 100 or so generals, they went around. And wherever this horse would go, the particular leader, they would have to submit to Dasarath. And if they submitted, then it would go on. So of course everybody was very pleased with King Dasarath, so everybody submitted, no problem. And then when they returned, then there was a sacrifice. And when they put the last spoonful of ghee in, then this effulgent personality came out of the yajna, and he had a golden pot. And in this pot there was some celestial nectar, and Dasarath's wife, they took this nectar. This gentleman that's sitting right in front of Prabhupada with his back straight to Prabhupada, it's not so good. I guess it's hard with Prabhupada right there. But anyway, so Dasarath's wives took this nectar. And Kaushalya, she took it, and then I forgot the two of Shatrughna and I get the name a little confused. Anyway, they took this nectar, and then shortly after, then Ram, and then Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, they took birth. Apparently, they're deathless, birthless. So then you can imagine, Dasarath is very, very, very ecstatic. And generally we don't hear too much of the childhood pastimes. We do so much of Krishna, but we don't hear the childhood pastimes of Ram very much. And the reason is on this planet we only have 24,000 verses of the Ramayana by Valmiki. But you know how much it is in the heavenly planets? Anybody know? The Ramayana? 100 crores of verses. That means 1 billion verses. That's where you get all the childhood pastimes. And everything, so much. You get the full pastimes of Lord Ram. And that's why sometimes we'll hear different pastimes of Ram that aren't in the Valmiki, because they're in different other Puranas that are coming from the heavenly planets. So many wonderful pastimes of Ram. There's one that I can think of when he was a child. He went to the Gurukul. So the four of them, they went to the Gurukul. Dasarath took them there. Vasishtha Muni was the guru. So he took them, they sat down in the Gurukul to hear from Vasishtha Muni. But Dasarath, he didn't leave. He also sat down. But generally the father, he goes and he leaves the children at the Gurukul, and then he leaves. But Dasarath was very attached to his sons. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to know, what is he teaching my sons? Sometimes parents are also like that. They want to know, what is this teacher like? And what's he going to teach my sons? So Vasishtha said, now you have brought your sons, now you have to leave. He said, oh, but I want to hear what you're teaching. I want to, no. I'll start teaching after you go. And then he left. And as soon as he left, Vasishtamuni, he circumambulated the sons of Dasarath. And he paid obeisances. He said, you put me in a very awkward situation because I know that you are all Vishnu Tattva. But I'm here supposedly teaching you. Why do you put me in this awkward situation where I am teaching you? And Ram just smiled. They all smiled. What to do? So he started teaching them. It's like Sandipani Muni, he's awesome. He's teaching Krishna and Balaram. They know everything. How could you teach someone that knows everything? So these are pastimes. So there's not much more, actually. That's the only one that I can think of. Early childhood of Ram. But then, when he was about 16, the great sage Vishvamitra Muni, he went to the kingdom Ayodhya. And when his people saw, the ministers, they saw Vishvamitra Muni is here, they went to Dasaratha, oh, this the great sage Vishvamitra Muni is here. So he immediately invited him in and sat him down, very hospitable, you can imagine. So he said, oh, it's so nice that you have come to my kingdom. Please, is there anything that I can do for you? Whatever you want, please let me know. And I'll be so happy to render whatever service you would like me to render to you. And he said, yes, this is very good way to welcome me. And what I would like is that we have a problem in the forest with the sages. There's two demons that are causing so much disturbance. We're getting ready to perform a sacrifice and they're throwing so much pus and blood and so much nonsense down, completely disturbing the sacrifice. So it's a problem and we want you to solve it. And the best way to solve it is give me your son, Ram. As soon as Dasarath heard these words, he just fainted. Just on hearing those words, he just lost consciousness. And when he came back to consciousness, he understood, this is not good. Vishvamitra Muni, he's just a boy. He's only 16 years old. He hasn't even gone to military practice. How could you ask this boy? I'll go. I'll bring my soldiers. We'll kill these demons. No problem. No. You made a promise. I want Ram. It's a big problem. So you can imagine. Now he's so attached to Ram. And these demons, it was the Marichi and Subahu. Big demons. Even the demigods were afraid of them. They had all these mystic abilities. And so Dasarath was in tremendous anxiety. But then Vasishtamuni, he said, no, you made a promise. You have to keep the promise. Don't worry. Vishvamitra Muni, he's a great mystic. Don't worry. He'll protect your sons. Let them go. So he let them go. And he killed them. Actually, one of them, he shot an arrow and he went 800 miles. Got shot by this arrow and went 800 miles into the ocean. That's quite a flight. Yeah. And then he killed the other one also. And then Vishwamitra told him that there was a a princess of the name Sita, not far away, and the way that the father, Janaka, wanted this girl married off was someone had to pick up the bow of Lord Shiva and string it. Also string it, right? Had to string it also. But just to pick up this bow, 100 of the strongest men in his kingdom had to move it. But somehow, Sita can just pick it up with one hand and move it. Pretty strong, right? So, Ram said, okay, let's go. So they went there, and when Janaka also heard that Vishwamitra Muni had come, he also invited him in. And when the citizens, they saw Vishwamitra Muni and they saw these two powerful personalities, Ram and Lakshman, they were just amazed about the beauty and the strength of these two personalities. So then, Vishwamitra Muni, he said that you have this is Ram, the son of Dasarath, and he wants to take up this challenge to pick up this bow and string it. And when Janaka heard that he's the son of Dasarath, he became very happy, because he's the actual leader of the whole world. So he wanted this connection. So they brought out the bow. And what did Ram do first? First thing he does, he circumambulates it out of respect and then obeisances. So then he lifted it, no problem. And then he bent it, and what happened? It broke. And everybody it was like thunder. It was just so powerful. The whole the land shook. And everybody was shocked. But Sita just stood there very happy. Because just upon seeing Ram, her dormant love for Ram was there. And she became very attracted. You know, this will be my husband. So many other kings had come and also tried. But she wasn't even attracted. They were just arrogant. You know, kings can be a little arrogant sometimes. You know, just like presidents and prime ministers. They were all arrogant. But Ram, he was very gentle. Circumambulated the bow, paid obeisance. None of the others did this. But he was very respectful. So she was very attracted to Ram. And after he broke the bow, then Janaka, he called Sita. And he said, give Ram this garland. She's very shy. She's the epitome of shyness and beauty and all good qualities. So then, shortly after, they were married, and the sister of Sita was married to Lakshman, and the brother of Janaka, his daughters, married Shatrughna and Bharat. So it was four marriages, one shot. So that was, they were very happy. Everybody was very happy. So these pastimes of Ram, so amazing. One thing Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that the Lord comes for various purposes. Of course, yada yada hidarmasya kanyabhavitabharata abhutanamadharmasya sadatmanamsakyamya. Whenever there's a predominant rise of irreligion and a decline in religious practice, at that time I'd send myself. So, there's one big demon. You've all heard of him, I'm sure. Ravana. Big demon. Rascal. He would rape women and just disturb, kill people. So the demigods, even the demigods, were afraid of him. Even Yamaraj didn't defeat him. So powerful. So he got this boon by Brahma that no one can kill him, except for a human being or an animal. And the reason he didn't ask for that boon because what human being is even going to come close to me or an animal? So he was causing so much grief, so much anxiety. And there was one, now backing up a little bit, there was one of Ram's wives, Kaikeyi. She was the dearest of all of Dasara's wives. Very beautiful, very nice. And Dasarath, he decided, he was very old, he decided to have Ram, to coronate him as the prince regent. But he had already sent Bharat and Sukrutna to his father-in-law, because he thought himself so fortunate to have all four boys here and his daughter-in-laws, but he thought, let him get some mercy also. What was his name? Anybody remember? His name? The father-in-law? Name? Anyway. So Bharat was there and Shatrughna, right? So he didn't invite them for the coronation for some reason. It just slipped his mind. So this one servant of Kaikeyi, Muntara, she heard about this coronation. She was the servant of Kaikeyi, so she thought, well, if I'm the servant of Kaikeyi, then I won't get near as much respect because Ram will be the king. And Kaushalya, she's the queen, and I'll be neglected. So she decided to convince Kaikeyi to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. Such a cruel lady. Of course, this is all arranged by Providence. And when Dasarath went to the quarters of Kaikeyi after she had heard the plan of Mantara, she was very distraught. Kaikeyi was very distraught. Why? Dasara said, why are you so unhappy? You know, Ram, he's going to be coronated as a prince regent. We should all be so happy. And she said, no, actually, you owe me some favors. You owe me two favors. Because she had actually saved Dasara in the war. In the war he was in. He was in the field, the war field, and he was injured and she took him off. And he promised her two boons, whatever you want. I'll take them later. So now she wanted them. That Bharat be crowned Prince Regent and Ram go to the forest for 14 years. So again, when Dasarath heard this, he fainted again. So distraught. Can't imagine. So he was just lamenting and lamenting and lamenting. How could my wife come up with this? Just completely bewildered. So she called for Ram. Dasarath couldn't even call Ram. He was just completely melancholy, just completely disturbed at mind with this evil intention of Kaikeyi. So when Ram came, Dasarath didn't even rise to greet him, and he was very distraught, very disturbed. And then Kaikeyi told Ram that your father owed me two boons, two promises. He doesn't want to keep them. This is the situation of your father. He doesn't want to keep his promise. So what is the promise? That you go to the forest for 14 years and that Bharat be crowned Prince Regent. So Ram, he was so, one of the great qualities of Ram, he was so submissive. So submissive. Without even being disturbed at all. I said, no problem. I can do that. No. Why are my father so disturbed? It's not a problem. I can do this immediately. But Dasarath was so attached. He had so much love for Ram. There's good attachment and there's bad attachment. So to be attached to Krishna, to be attached to Ram, this is very good. Just like there's one pastime in Chaitanya Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to convince one devotee, Murari Gupta, who was a devotee of Ram at Chaitanya Leela time. So he was trying to convince Murari Gupta that, why are you worshipping Ram? Don't you know Krishna, he's supreme? So many wonderful pastimes, you know, the Rasa Leela, so many wonderful leelas that Krishna has with his cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, this. And he's supreme. You know, why are you worshipping Ram? Krishna is so much more attractive. And Lord Chaitanya, he's a good preacher. He's God. So imagine, you know, Lord Chaitanya is trying to convince someone. He can be very convincing. So Murari Gupta understood, you know, Lord Chaitanya, he's also God. So he wants me to worship Krishna. So he started kind of leaning, you know. But at the same time, he's so attached to Ram. So that night, he stayed up all night just crying. Because he couldn't give up his worship of Ram. Couldn't do it. So the next morning he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're the Supreme Lord. And if I don't follow your order, then what is my destiny? But at the same time, I'm so attached to Ram, I can't give up worshipping Ram. So I'm in a dilemma. What should I do? And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, I was just testing you. You continue worshipping Ram. Why? Because you're an incarnation of Hanuman. So this is Murari Gupta. Very fortunate. So could not give up his worship of Ram. And also Anupama, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan. He also was a devotee of Ram. And he's the younger brother. Now, as you all know here in India, the younger brother does whatever the older brother does, right? Even it's many times it's seen that the older brother becomes a devotee of Krishna, ISKCON devotee, the younger brother joins, isn't it? It happens a lot, right? The younger brother does what the older brother does, but not Anupama. Anupama, he could not give up his worship of Ram, no matter what. So, but there is an instance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was going to South India. He came across one great Ram Bhakta, very devoted to Ram. And Lord Chaitanya, he was doing Harinam and preaching, you know, Krishna Katha. And this person was very, very impressed with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya continued on his tour, South India. But then when he came back, he saw the same Ram Bhakta. But now he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. He had become a Krishna Bhakta. So Lord Chaitanya said, very good. It was interesting, because they're both absolute. But still, Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam avartate iti madvabha jantamam buddhabhava. Krishna, he's the source of all material and spiritual. He's the source of everything, even Ram. So, so continuing there with, of course, we've all heard these pastimes so many times. But the pastimes of Krishna, Ramachandra, they're all ever fresh. You hear them again and again and again. It's very pleasing, very good. So the mood of Lord Ramachandra was to be a perfect example of a king. Perfect example. So therefore, when Ram was king, of course, now we're fast-forwarding, of course, there was no problem in society. And he only took one wife. Many kings at that time, so many wives. Prabhupada told of one Muslim king, I think he had 160 wives. And Krishna, he had 16,000. 108. But he would go to one, and at the same time he would be at another, and another, and another. But this Muslim king couldn't do that. So anxiety for the wives. So, but Ram, one wife. So when Sita heard about this curse, that he had to go to the forest for 14 years. You can imagine, she was also distraught very much. And she wanted to go with Ram. I'm your wife. Whatever you go, I have to go with you. But she's the princess. She had practically never, her feet had never practically touched anything but marble. Right? You can't imagine how gentle, how pure Sita was. So she was. So Ram was put in an awkward situation. I can't take this gentle, sensitive little young lady with me to the forest. But she said, no, I have to go. It would be for you to leave me and go to the forest, separation from you would be like being in fire. It would be worse. then go into the forest. So of course Lakshman also, he was very attached to Ram. He could not live without Ram, so they all went. Was it Kishkindya? The forest? What was the name of the forest? Huh? Then the Karna forest. So they were very happy, actually, living in the forest. And forest life is actually very nice. You know, and therefore, the sages, the sannyasis, they go out to the forest. Live a very simple life. And it's said that a sannyasi, one who wants to take sannyas, he should not take sannyas unless he's willing to go out to the forest without fear. That's a sannyasi. So there's many dangerous animals in the forest. And of course she has Ram and Lakshman protecting her. So at one point, one Rakshashi, she saw Ram and she became very attracted. So beautiful, Ram. Can't imagine how beautiful Ram is. So she became attracted. And she came with some desire. And Ram said, no, you should. I'm a married man. Here, my brother, he's very handsome, and he's by himself. And then she went over to Lakshman. Yeah, you're pretty handsome too. No, I'm just a servant. I'm Ram's servant. You should go to Ram. Yeah. So then she was going back and forth. Flickering, yeah. So then she went back to Ram. No, you should go to my brother. And then she figured the problem is your wife. So she went and she kind of attacked. She went to attack Sita. And as soon as she did that, sometimes they say that she cut off the nose, right? Was it Lakshmi? And then also sometimes they say they cut off the ears. Both? Yeah? So she didn't look very good after that. Karma. She had her karma. So then she went to Ravana, brother. And when Ravana saw her like that, he said, "Who has done this to you?" And she explained what had happened. And he said, "You know, this Ram, he has a very beautiful sister, or wife, actually. Sita. Very beautiful." So just upon hearing of the beauty of Sita, he decided he had to have this girl. And so he went there. But he had a particular plan to capture Sita. And that is, what was his name? Marichi? He wanted Marichi to go there, disguised as a golden calf, to attract Sita. But he didn't want to do it, because he knew how powerful Ram was. But then he thought, either I'm going to be killed by Ram, or Ravana better get killed by Ram. So he said, alright. So he did that. He went disguised in this beautiful golden calf or a deer. And then Sita became attracted. Very attracted. She said, "Ram, look at that golden deer. Please capture this deer for me. I want to have a pet deer." And then Ram, he understood this is a trick. This is a trick. No, 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 it's not a trick, Ram. Please, please, capture this beautiful deer for me. Then he said, all right, all right. But Lakshman, you guard Sita, protect her. So he went chasing after the deer. And then after some time, Lakshman and Sita hear this call. Lakshman, help! Lakshman, help! And that was from Marichi. So Lakshman knew Ram never needs help. This is a trick. And then Sita said, didn't you hear? That was Ram's voice. You have to go. You have to help him. No, no, no. Ram told me to stay here to protect you. I have to stay here. No, no, no. You have to help him. That's Ram. That's my husband. Is there your brother? You have to go. You're acting like this because you want to be alone with me, isn't it? When he heard those words, pierced the heart. Because Lakshman was so devoted to Sita, he had never even seen her face, only her feet. Amazing. And they were there for years together, so devoted to Ram and Sita. So then he went. And when he got there, sure enough, Ram was not in trouble. But during that time, Ravana came, dressed as a mendicant, because they had made this electrical device even back then. Anybody crosses a line, he gets electrocuted. Right? So then he went as a sage, and he captured Sita. And he's going away. And then, you know, the old pastime, Jatayu, trying to save Sita. So he got away. Now in this pastime, Prabhupada says one of the things that Ram is teaching is that household life can be very troublesome. Because now Sita is kidnapped. And he has to go and save her. So it's a big ordeal. As you know, he had to go to Lanka, and the monkey soldiers had to come, and it was just like a huge war to bring back Sita. So therefore household life can sometimes be a little troublesome. And in Kali Yuga, it said that just to maintain a wife in Kali Yuga, it's like maintaining a kingdom in other ages. Very difficult. So, best to stay brahmachari, you know, no anxiety. I think that was the message. Ram was always saying, better stay brahmachari, you know, too much trouble. Yeah. So much anxiety. One sannyasi, he said, household life means the three B's. Business, bills, and babies. Business, bills, and babies. So it can be very troublesome, as Ram found. So, during this battle, an interesting thing occurred. That Vibhishan, he became very disgusted with Ravana's policies on the battle. Because Ravana, he was a rascal. Bad guy. So Vibhishan became so disgusted at one point that he decided to leave Ravana, to leave his brother, and go to the side of Ram. And he also had some of his followers who were also disgusted with Ravana. So they left Ravana and they went to Ram. And they got the message to Ram that we want to join you now and fight against Ravana. So it became a debatable thing amongst the followers of Ram. How can we allow this brother of Ravana to enter our side? He's a Rakshasa. And the brother of Ravana, it's just a trick. He's going to come in, get on our side, and then he's going to try to defeat us from within. How can we allow him in? So there are some people that say, no, let him come. And others say, no. So then, eventually Ram said to Hanuman, Hanuman, you decide. So then, Hanuman said, I think we should accept him. Because just by looking at his face, I could understand that he's being honest. So after Hanuman said that, Vibhishan said to all of them, he said, if what I am saying is not true, that I will join the side of Ram against my brother, then may I become a king in Kali Yuga. And then they all said, all right, he's telling the truth. Okay. It's clear. Because nobody in their right mind would want to be a king in Kali Yuga. You'd have to be nuts. You know? Or a prime minister or a president. Because in Kali Yuga, or maybe in any yuga, the king, he takes on 1/6 of the sins of his subjects. Now, is that in any age or just Kali Yuga? Any, you know? All ages. So imagine Kali Yuga taking on 1/6 of all the sinful reactions of all the subjects. I mean, gee whiz. People don't know what they're doing. These guys don't know what they're doing. So, then he went on the side of Ram. And of course, that was very, very, very intelligent of him. So, like I said, Lord Ram, he had a mood, and his mood was to be a perfect leader, to be a perfect husband. So there's other incarnations, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came with another mood. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar, the most merciful. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Kale Kukura Bhutkara Bhavadhara. He says the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he's wielding a stick. He's carrying a stick and he's chasing away the mad dog of Kali Yuga. And then he goes on to say, anybody know that song? Hari Nama Mahaushada Dhanaparam. Hari Nama Mahaushada Dhanaparam. And he's come to give the gift of the holy name of Krishna, the great medicine. This is the Mahaushadha, the medicine for the age of Kali. Harinam Mahaushadha Dhanapuram. This is the great gift of the age of Kali, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So you know there's the there's different types of devotees. There's the Bhajananandi, just chanting. There's Gostiyanandi, just preaching. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, the best devotee is the Bhajananandi that likes to preach. The Bhajananandi that likes to preach. In other words, both. He's the Gostiyanandi and the Bhajananandi. So that's the perfect. Perfect person in the age of Kali. And Prabhupada was that person. In his prayer he said, I have great faith in the holy name of Krishna. And therefore the first program Prabhupada did in the West, Harinam. When he got some followers, of course he was preaching, but when he got some followers, Harinam. And so many people were joining because of Harinam. So there's the Brihat Mridanga. The Mridanga here, you could hear it for a short distance away. But then we have the Brihat Mridanga. You could distribute a book here in New Delhi. Just like I used to distribute books in airports. So someone would get a book from me in the Miami airport or Los Angeles airport. And then they would become a devotee in Sweden or Germany or Japan or Australia. Many, many people became devotees from books that they got, you know, in airports all around America, because that was our main book distribution in America in the 1980s. So many people became devotees in other countries. So you can really see why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that Brihat Mridanga, the great Mridanga book distribution. So I have to commend you devotees here in New Delhi, because you're so much in... I should commend Gopal Krishna Maharaj, because he really has New Delhi on fire on book distribution. So that goes, that's his great glory. He's so devoted. Prabhupada told Gopal Krishna Maharaj, if you don't have a new book, don't come and see me. Only come and see me when you have a new book printed. So that importance of book distribution never left the heart of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Someone told me that he has some heart problem. Actually, he has no heart problem because Prabhupada's instruction is there. There is no heart problem. And I don't think that instruction is going to leave, so he's not going to have a heart problem. Maybe a material heart problem, but not a spiritual heart problem. And you're all taking his guidance very nicely. And therefore, every year, for how many years, has 9 years, for the past 9 years, number one in medium temples throughout the world. Yeah, you need to applaud, pat yourself on the back. In America, they have a saying, pat yourself on the back. Or clap for yourself. It's very nice. And this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To get the message out. To get this message of Krishna out to the people. So that they can become happy. And this is the next line. Patitra Dayadra. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is crying out of compassion for the fallen souls. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's crying out of compassion for the conditioned souls. And in all the incarnations of Krishna, the mood is they don't like to see others suffering. So they come to Purichanaya Saranam Gunasaya Krishna to deliver the devotees, to annihilate the demons. Like Ram, he killed Ravana, and so many other demons he killed to protect the devotees. But Lord Chaitanya, he didn't kill anybody. He almost killed one person. Who was that? Madai. Mad Madai. Almost. Because he struck Lord Nityananda. And when he just heard these words, Lord Nityananda has been struck. He's bleeding. He went to the spot. Chakra! And immediately Chakra came to kill Madai. But immediately they understood, oh, death is upon us. And they both paid obeisances, begging for mercy. And then Lord Nityananda said, my Lord, please, don't kill them. Because if you kill them, you'll have to kill everyone. This is Kali Yuga. Everyone is sinful. And this Jagai, he protected me. Madai was going to hit me again, and Jagai here, he's paying a bit. He protected me. As soon as Lord Chaitanya heard that, he picked up Jagai and he embraced him. Imagine what mercy, huh? He said, you protected my Nimai, my Nitai. So then Madai said, but he is just as sinful as me. Please give me mercy also. No, you have offended my Nita. The only way is if you get mercy of Nita. Of course, and then he paid obeisance to Nityananda. And Nityananda forgave. So then they became branches of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagai and Madai became branches on the tree. So Lord Chaitanya is very compassionate. Why? Because Radha Krishna Nahayanya, not just Krishna, Radharani. And Radharani, Prabhupada mentions in her purport, Radharani is the tender-hearted counterpart of Krishna. The tender-hearted counterpart of Krishna. Very compassionate. And therefore, devotees of Krishna know that if you get the mercy of Radharani, then you're set. And therefore, in Vrindavan, everywhere on the trees, you hear Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Shyam. They know if they can get the mercy of Radharani, then Krishna's mercy must follow. She sees, oh, such a nice devotee. Krishna, this is such a nice devotee. Please give me mercy. And he must give. He's bound with mercy. Whatever Radharani wants. So we're very fortunate to be under the shelter So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Krishna Balaram, Jagannath Balaram's brother, Sri Sri Radha, Radhika Raman. We should pray for their mercy so we can distribute these glories all over New Delhi. You also go